thought and our message that we've looked at. We've looked at three parts already, and tonight I want us to see part four. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 11, the Bible says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers." And we've been speaking about that subject, and we've been speaking about that little comparison word as. And we've seen several of those already in 1 Peter, as obedient children in chapter 1, as newborn babes in chapter 2, verse 2, as lively stones in chapter 2, verse number 5, and then in verse number 11 of chapter 2, as strangers and pilgrims. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul." And so we've been looking at that phrase, as strangers. And as I said, we have seen three parts already, three messages. We looked first of all at the characteristics which distinguish the stranger. The characteristics which distinguish the stranger. And we gave two characteristics there. And one of those we're kind of going to overlap a little bit with tonight. But we said the stranger's actions are honest in verse number 12 there of 1 Peter 2. The Bible says, having your conversation honest. And that's not just speaking about the words that we say, that's speaking about the entirety of our conduct. And then we said the stranger's attentions are homeward. And we're going to speak a little bit about, or actually a whole lot about that tonight. But then our second message, we looked at the compass which directs. We looked at the characteristics which distinguish the stranger. And then we looked at the compass which directs the stranger. As believers, we need something to direct us through this life. And we looked at God's Word. We know that's our compass. And then thirdly, last Sunday morning, we looked at the conflict which demands. The conflict which demands. Right here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 11, the Bible says, "Abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul." And so we looked at the conflict which demands from us as strangers. And we said that the conflict demands that we abstain from the flesh. It demands that we attend to the foe. And then we said that it demands that we arm ourselves with faith. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 9. And then tonight, here in Hebrews chapter 11, I had you turn to 1 Peter 2 and then Hebrews chapter 11. Let's begin reading in verse number 13 if we could tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. Tonight I want us to see part 4. And I want us to see the citizenship that drives the stranger. I want us to see the citizenship which drives the stranger. The characteristics which distinguish, the compass which directs, the conflict which demands. And then fourthly tonight, part 4, I want us to see the citizenship which drives the stranger. Now, if you're taking notes, or maybe you're not, but I always tell Joshua, I say, listen, when we have a message, you better take notes. That could be a bonus question during the week. What was Sunday's title of the message? What were the 3 points? And we did one a couple weeks ago, and we did, I forget which one it was. Actually, it was from the first 3 parts. And I asked him, I said, what have been the first 3 messages? Part 1, part 2, part 3. And I gave him the first one. I said, the characteristics which distinguish. And so he said, so Daddy, that means the other two have a C and a D in it as well, don't it? I said, well, you're catching on a little bit. So he finally, after sitting there for a while, he caught on and he got it. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 tonight, Bible says, these all died in faith. Who's he speaking about? Well, he's speaking about Abraham. He's speaking about Sarah, beginning in verse 8. He's speaking about Noah in verse 7, Enoch in verse 5, Abel in verse number 4. And specifically, he's speaking about Abraham and Sarah. That's the context of where we pick up in verse 13. He said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We looked at this verse in our first part one when we talked about the fact that a stranger's attention should always be homeward. And he says here in verse number 13, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Notice verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a what? A country. Verse 15, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had, had opportunity to have returned. Verse 16, but now they desire a what kind of country? A better country. That is an heavenly. That is an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And so tonight I want us to see part four, speaking of as strangers, and I want us to see the citizenship which drives the stranger. Notice again in Hebrews chapter 11, notice, if you would, verse number 16 again. The Bible says, but now they desire. Somebody tell me tonight, what does the word drive, what does that word mean? What do we mean when we say that tonight? The citizenship which drives the stranger. You might say, well, I don't know, Pastor, it's your message, you tell me. But what is that word drive? What is it, the definition of it? By the way, what is just the general definition of the word drive?
To propel?
What did you say, Ms. Friend? Say, I'm sorry. Pushes or propel. Here's the definition of drive. It means to propel along by force in a specified direction. That's what we do in our cars, isn't it? We propel along that car, the engine propels that car along by force in a specified direction. We put that car in a specific direction and we head that way, and that's the way that we're going. It also has another definition. It means desire. We kind of touched on that, not kind of, we touched on it quite a bit Sunday night when we talked about same old, same old. We said the Apostle Paul was always the same in his passions. And that's the similar idea with this word drive. It's the idea of passion. What drives us? What are our passions tonight? What is it that drives us, that propels us along by force in a specified direction? What is our desire tonight? The Bible says in Hebrews 11:16 that Abraham and Sarah, that Enoch, that Noah, that Abel, these individuals who live by faith, they were driven, they desired a what? A better country. What drove them, their passion, was that there was a better country. We said this a few weeks ago. Look, when Abraham got to Canaan, that's where God told him to go. He told him to leave Ur of the Chaldees and He told him to go to Canaan. He sent him to Canaan. But listen, when he got to Canaan, he still wasn't home. Because that's not home. Bible says he was looking for a better country. That's not talking about Canaan. It's talking about heaven. Pastor, how do you know that? Because the Bible tells us in verse number 16. But now they desire a better country that is and heavenly. What are our passions tonight? What drives us? Look, some people are driven by a desire to take care of their family. And that's a good desire, is it not? And so what do they do because they're driven to take care of their family? Well, they work. They work diligently because they are driven to take care of their family. Some people are driven by a desire to retire early. So what do? Okay, they work, but what else do? They save and they invest. They work, they save and they invest because they're driven to retire early. Some people are driven by a love for America. You want to speak about citizenship? You speak about a country? Some of us, I would say probably all of us, are driven by a love for America. So what do? We vote. We pray. We get involved. Some people are driven by popularity. So what do? They conform their lives to the whims of society and culture. Some people are driven by their fleshly lust. So what do? They live fast and loose with their life. And we could go on and on and on. What drives us many times determines our actions. But here's the truth tonight. As believers in the finished work of Jesus Christ, as believers in Christ, as born-again believers, there is one overriding truth which should drive everything that we do. It should drive how we live. It should drive how we act. It should drive how we save money. It should drive how we vacation. It should drive how we talk. It should drive how we treat people. It should drive how we love. It should drive how we give. And here's that one overriding truth that ought to drive us tonight. And here it is. This isn't our home. We have a better home. We are citizens of another country. And that country is heaven. The Bible speaks here in Hebrews 11, it speaks about a country, but it also speaks about a city. We know that country, the Bible says in verse 16, is heaven. We know the city is what Revelation calls New Jerusalem. And so we're citizens. We have a king. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a city. We have a country. By the way, we have fellow citizens. Who are they? Who are our fellow citizens? Us! Other believers! The Bible says, you don't have to turn there, but let me turn there real quickly. In the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 19, the Bible says, Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners. Here, he is speaking about the fact that now they are a part of the family of God. Now they are no longer strangers and foreigners when it comes to the body of Christ. They're not strangers to that anymore. And he says, but, this is what you are, this is who you are, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And so tonight, primarily in Hebrews 11, but in a couple of other passages as well, real quickly tonight, I want to show us five areas or five actions, if you will, that our citizenship ought to drive us to do. Our citizenship in heaven, the fact that this is not our country, this is not our home, we have another country, we have another home. The Bible says we're fellow citizens of heaven. We're looking for a better country. And it's not the promised land, it's not Canaan, it's heaven. And so let's see that tonight. First of all, let's pray and let's ask God to help. Let's ask God to help with the kids and the teenagers tonight. We're low tonight, that's understandable. We didn't run the van tonight, but we still have several teens and several kids. So let's pray for them tonight and pray for us as we look here tonight. And look, let me say this before we get into the message. I know who I'm speaking to tonight. I'm speaking to people here who drove through deep waters tonight to get here. Okay, and so I know who I'm speaking to tonight. And I know you understand without doubt or hesitation that this is not our home, that we have another country, that we have another home, we're citizens of another place. But I do pray that it'll be an encouragement to you tonight. Maybe it'll just challenge us a little bit tonight, convict us. Because here's the truth, every single one of us can, if we're not careful, we can begin to get our eyes off of the eternal and we can get our eyes on the temporal. Hey, by the way, let me say this. In the time we live right now, and especially in the past few weeks or the past month, it has been very easy to get our eyes off of the eternal and get our eyes on the earthly because of everything that's going on, okay? We have to be careful about that because this is not our home. What does the song say? We're just a passing through. We're just here for a little while. and we've got another home. So let's pray and ask God to help us tonight. Father, we sure do love you. We're thankful for your word, and we're thankful for the truth that we've been looking at for the past several weeks, especially that little word of comparison, the word as. And Father, you've called us to be as obedient children. You've called us to be as newborn babes. We are to desire the sincere milk of the word. We are to be as lively stones. And Father, we're to be as strangers. This is not our home. We ought not put roots so deep in this, on this earth. And Father, I pray that you just remind us of that tonight. And Father, help our hearts not to get pulled away from that truth. Help our minds and our eyes and our hearts not to get pulled away to earthly matters as opposed to heavenly matters. Father, I do pray that you'd be with our children and our teenagers tonight, the workers. And Father, I pray that you would help them tonight, help them to learn your word. If there'd be one here tonight without Christ, Father, I pray that tonight would be their night of salvation. I pray for all of our church family who may be watching by live stream tonight. Father, I pray that you give them a blessing as well. Lord, we love you. We pray that you'll help us in these next few moments. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. I want us to see, first of all, tonight, number one, our citizenship drives us to do, number one, to see. S-E-E. Would you look here in Hebrews chapter 11 with me again? The Bible says in verse number 10, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Look down at verse number 13. The Bible says, "These all died in what? In faith, having received the promises," but notice this, "but having," what's the next word? "Seen them afar off." They never received the promises. They never received the promise of the Messiah. They were not allowed. They didn't live long enough to see the Messiah. The Bible says that they died, but they died in faith. They didn't get to receive the promises, but they saw them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them. Notice the words used here. They saw them, and because of that, they were persuaded of those promises. They embraced those promises, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. Look, I've never seen heaven. I've never seen the Lord Jesus Christ. But I will say this. I do, and all of us do, we get to look back at the cross. These individuals in Hebrews 11 were looking forward to the cross. In Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15, when the Bible speaks about the fact that there would be enmity between the seed of the woman and God's seed, and he said, "It will bruise thy head, and it'll bruise his heel, and he'll bruise your head." That right there was a prophecy of the coming Messiah. Listen, they never got to see that come to fruition. They looked forward to the cross. We get to look back. We have the Word. We have God's Word that tells us that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and by faith, we believe it. I've never seen heaven, just like they didn't. I've never seen Christ, just like they never saw Christ. But you know what my citizenship in heaven does? It drives me to see by faith. It drives me to embrace. It drives me to be persuaded. It drives me to confess the truth that I'm just a stranger and pilgrim upon this earth. And it drives me to see that there's something better than what I have here. Now, here's the truth tonight. All of us have a lot of good things here, don't we? Yeah. Look, I look around. Families. You have kids. Some of you have grandkids. Homes, you have beautiful homes, and nice possessions, and nice vehicles to drive in, and wonderful homes to live in, and plenty of provision. By the way, nothing wrong with that. We're all blessed. We have lots of stuff here. But there's a better place coming. And sometimes we get our eyes so fixated upon this earth and the good things here. And again, nothing wrong with those things, but we get our eyes fixated upon the stuff here that our faith is overshadowed by our flesh and by our covetousness sometimes. and we fail to see by faith that we have a better country waiting for us. Verse number 10, look there again. The Bible says, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." We're going to a country whose builder is greater than whoever built your house. Greater. I tell you what, we live the parsonage. We live in a wonderfully built house. Galen Smith, I believe, did most of the building over there. And it's a wonderfully built house. And it's a beautiful home, and I'm very thankful for it. But there's a builder who's building a mansion for us who's much better than whoever built your house. Because he's divine. Because he's holy. Because he's perfect. Because everything is going to be perfect in detail. You like good detail? You like details to be right? I know some of you do. Look, his details are absolutely perfect. And so number one tonight, our citizenship, the fact that we are citizens of heaven, ought to drive us to see. By the way, you don't have to turn there, but let me read you a verse or a couple of verses if I could in Psalm 27. I love this passage. I love these two verses. Psalm 27 in and of itself is an absolutely wonderful psalm. It's a psalm of encouragement. But in the last two verses, David, this is what he says in verses 13 and 14. He said, "I had fainted." Everything he's gone through, the enemies coming against him, the slander, those who desire his demise. He said, "If it were not for this," he said, "I would have fainted." He said, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord." You see, he doesn't say that he saw it. He believed to see it. He had to believe, and his belief allowed him to see the goodness of God. Because sometimes we get into the circumstances, and boy, we're trying to wade ourselves out of the circumstances. And if we're following the flesh, we're not going to see the goodness of God, are we? We're just going to see the trials. We're just going to see the circumstance. We're just going to see the trouble. If we'll allow our faith to guide us, if we'll allow our faith to help us to see, we'll see the goodness of God. He says, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Verse 14, "Wait. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." You know what David is saying there? He's saying, look, don't get in a rush when your circumstances are different than you think they ought to be. Wait! Wait on God. Wait to see the goodness of God. Listen, our citizenship, my citizenship, ought to drive me to see that there's something better than what I have right now. Two. Let me give you number two. Our citizenship, secondly, not only does it drive us to see, secondly, it drives us to speak. Look at verse number 14 again. It drives us to speak. In Romans 10:11, the Bible says, "Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." It drives us to speak. Verse number 16 says, "Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God." Verse number 14, "For they that say such things," say what things? What we read in verse 13. Those individuals that say that they are strangers and pilgrims on this earth, they're persuaded of that. They have embraced that truth. They have confessed that truth. Look what it says. "For they that say such things do what?" What's the next word? Declare. "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." You know what my citizenship, my heavenly citizenship, ought to drive me to do? It ought to drive me to speak. Not about the weather. Boy, we can speak about the weather today, can't we? But not about the weather, not about basketball games, but about heaven. I've mentioned this before, but when I was a student at Pensacola, there was an older gentleman. He was probably in his mid to late 80s. He was a pastor down in lower Mississippi, and he came to preach at our Bible conference. I believe it was my sophomore year there. And every time he preached, he probably preached three or four times during the Bible conference. And every time he preached about heaven. Every single time. He preached about heaven. And I remember some of the guys would come back to the residence halls and they were like, man, he's preached on heaven every time he's preached. We know about heaven, but that's all he preaches about. That's all he talks about. Why was that all he talked about? Because he's getting ready to go there. That's the place that he's getting ready to go, and he's looking forward to it. And every message he preached that week was about heaven. Listen, my citizenship in heaven ought to drive me to speak about that place. And by the way, not because I'm 85 or 90 and getting ready to go there. I ought to speak about it now. Because, hey, that's my country. We speak about Tennessee. I love Tennessee. I'm thankful to be a Tennessean. I'm just thankful. And I'm thankful to be an American. And I can talk about that. But I ought to be able to talk about being a citizen of heaven. Number two, my citizenship ought to drive me to speak. It ought to drive me to see by faith that, look, there's something better. Thirdly, also in verse number 14, our citizenship drives us to see. It drives us to speak. But it also drives us to seek. What he says there in verse number 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they what? Seek a country. That everything they do here is not about here. Much of it is about there. Now, yeah, we have to do a lot of things here that's going to stay here. But much of what we do here ought to be because of there. Would you take your Bibles, just put a piece of paper or something there in Hebrews 11, we'll come back. Would you take your Bibles and go to Matthew 6? While you're turning there, let me read Colossians 3. We read this just a couple of weeks ago. Matthew chapter 6, and while you're turning there, let me read just three verses in Colossians 3, or excuse me, 4. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ. What's the next word? Anybody know? Seek. If ye then be risen with Christ. And here's the question. Are you? I believe so. Everyone in here tonight gives a testimony of salvation, okay? We are risen with Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ. If that's true, what am I supposed to do? I am to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And then he says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Seek. Set your affections, he says. My citizenship ought to drive me to seek. To seek what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. You're in Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 25. Bible says, therefore, and we'll go back and see what the therefore is relating to in just a moment. But he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? What's the answer to that? Yes. Now, we're confused about that in our nation today, but the answer is yes. He's saying, Christ is saying, aren't you better than the fowls of the air? Sure. And he says, okay, if God feeds them, if he provides a place for them and he feeds them, he says, are ye not much better than they? Sure. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. They don't spin yarn. They don't sew clothes. They don't toil to clothe themselves. Verse 29, he says, and yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Hey, there's that word again. He said, that's what the Gentiles seek after. He's speaking about primarily the unbelievers. He said, that's what the Gentiles seek after. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Look, my citizenship, ought to drive me to seek His kingdom first, to seek His righteousness first. By the way, that's why, as believers, that's why when we get paid, the first fruits go to God. Now, think about this. The first fruits, it's not 100%. Well, it's not even 50%. It's 10%. Then, of course, he tells us that we ought to give offerings above that, but it's 10%. He's not asking us to give 100%. You see that sometimes when you talk about seeking God and living for God, people think, well, man, that's all I ever do. All of my money's going to have to go to God. Every bit of my time has to go. No. He's only asking for 10%. But I give it first because I'm seeking Him first. And then he says, and all these things shall be added unto you. Look, my citizenship ought to drive me to seek His kingdom, to seek His righteousness, to seek His glory, to seek His service. Number one, it ought to drive me to see. It ought to drive me to speak. It ought to drive me to seek. Number four, it ought to drive me to save. Look at verses 19 through 24 of Matthew 6. It ought to drive me to save. The Bible says in Matthew 6, verse number 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man. No exceptions here. I won't be the first. You won't be the first. He says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Here's the truth tonight. We don't serve money. It serves us and it serves God. And many people live their lives and they are serving money. That's all they live for. But money ought to serve us. And money ought to serve our God. He says ye cannot serve God and mammon. And then in verse 25, we have the therefore. Therefore, okay, because of all of that, I ought to seek. My citizenship ought to drive me to seek. Verses 19 through 24, my citizenship ought to drive me to save, to lay up treasure in heaven. Anything I lay up here, and by the way, I'm for it. The Bible's for it. The Bible says that we ought to leave an inheritance to our grandchildren. That's a good thing in the book of Proverbs. Nothing wrong with that. But God help that we're not laying up here. Because what does the Bible say about that? Moth and rust is going to corrupt it. Thieves are going to break through and steal. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Number four tonight, our citizenship ought to drive us to save. To lay up treasures in that country. Because here's the truth. What we lay up in that country will never corrupt. The things we lay up here, they'll corrupt one day. But the treasures we lay up there will never, ever corrupt. The family members, the friends, the loved ones that you take with you to heaven, they'll be with you forever. Never corrupt. Number five, take your Bibles and go back to Hebrews 11 if you would. Our citizenship drives us to see, it drives us to speak, it drives us to seek, it drives us to save. And then number five, and this really wraps up all of them and combines all of them, but number five, look at verses 17 through 19. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 17 through 19, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. God had given Abraham a promise, didn't he? He said, in Isaac, your seed is going to multiply and multiply and multiply. Your seed is going to be as great as, and as large as the sand of the seashore. And then what does God do in Genesis 22? He comes and tells him to sacrifice Isaac. The Bible says here that he tried, Abraham. He tested him. The Bible in Genesis 22 uses the word tempt. But he wasn't tempting him to sin. He was trying him. He was testing him to see if he would be obedient. Number five tonight, our citizenship drives us to surrender. To surrender everything. To surrender everything God has given us, everything that we think we are, everything that we think we have. Our citizenship drives us to surrender. What did Abraham surrender? He surrendered his son. By the way, verses 18 and 19 show us how deep Abraham's faith was. Because Abraham believed God's promise that Isaac was going to be the one through which his seed was going to multiply and grow. He believed God's promise. God had promised him that. And he believed it to the point that he said this, okay, if God requires me to sacrifice Isaac, here's what's going to happen. God's going to raise him from the dead. That's how much he believed God. The Bible says there, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. You know what Abraham said? Okay, God, if you allow me to sacrifice to kill my son, then I'm expecting you to raise him from the dead. Because you promised that in Isaac my seed was going to be called. My seed was going to grow. What kind of faith is that? Same kind of faith we ought to have. By the way, same kind of faith we can have. Abraham was just a man just like us. But he had faith in God's promises. But I want you to notice one more thing, and then we'll be done tonight. Would you take your Bibles and go to Genesis 13? Genesis 13. Our citizenship drives us to see. It drives us to speak. It drives us to seek. It drives us to save, to lay up treasures in heaven. And then finally, number five, it drives us to surrender. Just to surrender everything we are, everything we have, who we are. It drives us to surrender, to say, God, hey, Abraham said, look, I am looking for a city. I'm looking for a country whose builder and maker is God. I'm looking for a country whose foundations are greater than what we have here. That's what he was looking for. And because of that, let me ask you this. Was Abraham a perfect man? Absolutely not. But you know what he was? He was a humble man. And he was a surrendered man. Genesis chapter 13, we're not going to read the whole chapter, but let's just read a little bit if we could. In Genesis 13, you have the account of Abraham and Lot, and you have the account of the herdmen, and they're arguing because there's not enough land. And in verse number 8. Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. You know what Abraham said? He said, I don't care. I don't care what part of the land I get. By the way, God had already promised him the land, but he said, look, I don't care because I'm not here for this land. I'm here for another country. I'm looking for another country. Lot, I don't care if you get the best land. Verse number 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities in the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked as sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Verse 14, the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Abraham said, I don't care. Lot, take whatever you want. And because of that spirit, and because of that humility, and because of that surrender, what did God do? God blessed. He said, hey, Abraham, look. He said, look, look southward, look northward, look westward, look eastward. He said, everything you see, I'm going to give it to you. Why? Because he was a surrendered man. You know what our citizenship in heaven will do for us? It'll drive us to surrender everything that we have because we're looking for a different country. Because we're looking for something greater. Because we're looking for something better. Our daughter, Paige, had Bible conference last week. And Bible conference week is just, it's a busy week. And she had to work. She had classes in the morning, work in the afternoon. And then Bible conference at night. Bible conference is always two preachers every night. And so she was busy all week. And she didn't call. She didn't call. She didn't text last week at all. That hurt my feelings. I hurt my feelings. And by the way, I didn't either. I didn't call her. I didn't text her because I thought she knows my number. But I didn't. She didn't call. She didn't text. And I understood why. Because she was busy. And then she called. I believe it was. She called Saturday. She called Saturday. And she didn't call me. She called her mama. But anyway, she called Saturday. And I talked to her for a little bit. But I was a little. I don't want to talk to you now, you know. You hadn't talked to me all week. And she talked to her mama later, and she says, Daddy upset at me. And Beverly's like, no, she's not upset at you. He just misses you. He just misses you. And so I sent her a text the next day, Sunday. Actually, it was Sunday night, and I apologized to her. And I told her this, because the Lord smote my heart about it. And I told her, I said, look, we miss you. I said, but you're doing exactly what we raised you to do. And for that, I could never be upset. You're doing exactly what we raised you to do. Her mom and I, Beverly and I, have several times recently, we've made the comment to each other, you know, she's probably not coming back home. She's probably not. She'll be home at Christmas. She's traveling this summer with a singing group to play the piano. She won't be home hardly at all this summer. And we've both looked at each other and said, she's not coming back. She'll be back for Christmases and a couple weeks here and there. But the Lord, He smote my heart really Saturday night, and He said, look, why would you be upset about that? That's what you wanted her to do. That's what you raised her to do. And it is. And you know what? When we give our kids to the Lord and we dedicate, we have dedication services and we give our little babies to the Lord, I wonder sometimes, do we really mean it? Because when it actually comes to fruition, it kind of hurts our feelings a little bit, doesn't it? But it shouldn't. Because that's what we said we wanted. We wanted God to use them. God, we're giving them to you. You do whatever you want with them. And praise His name if it comes to fruition. Praise His name when they actually grow up and say, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to serve God. My citizenship ought to drive me to surrender everything I have. Who I am, my family, whatever God wants to do, however God wants to use us, everything that we have, it ought to be His. Why? Because this is just momentary. It's just for a while. That is forever. 70, 80, 90, 100 years here is but for a moment. And that is forever. Here's the great overriding truth tonight. We have another home. This is not our home. And our citizenship there ought to drive us. It ought to propel us by force in a specified direction. It ought to be our passion. And God help us that it will be. Amen. Father, we love You tonight. We're grateful for Your Word. And Father, we're grateful for the truth that our citizenship right at this very moment is in the heavenlies. Father, may that truth drive us to see, to speak, to seek, to save, and to surrender who we are, everything we have. Father, may that be true even in our lives tonight. Father, help us as we go to prayer. Father, I pray that You'd incline Your ear toward us, hear us. And Father, I do pray. I pray right now that You'd give us a good day Sunday. Father, help visitors to come. I pray that You'd help all of us to invite visitors, family, friends, whoever it may be. And Father, I pray that we would see individuals saved on Sunday. And I pray most of all, Lord, that You'd just be honored and glorified in everything we do. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed, but I do encourage you, let's just take a few minutes and pray tonight, okay?